It's 7:20 on a Tuesday morning, or Wednesday morning. Joining us now in studio are Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martin. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Well, yeah, I guess we had you in last week, but yes. It's been an odd schedule this summer with the way things have fallen, things happening on Tuesday and such. So the point is you had your first meeting last night and a regular meeting in, weeks, about almost a month.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, isn't it? But just so everybody knows, work is still happening. Yeah. We're still getting things done.
Let's talk about the meeting last night. You had a lot of things to go through, so it went a little bit long, but not terribly long, I guess. Let's first of all start off with you had a number of reports, and I want to focus on one to begin with, and that is a presentation of a TIF request from Aurora Pharmaceutical. They're planning on doing some additions to the building that they built just a few years ago, so they're expanding and doing well. Tell us about what is requested and what that plan is.
I'll let Ben get into some of the more specifics of the project and things like that, but it's been so exciting. It's a homegrown business, right here in our community. Aurora Pharmaceuticals, owned by Strobel and Werner. Right, and so they got, I believe it's an FDA approval for a new product, and so they need to expand to be able to accommodate the manufacturing that's needed for it. So it's just super excited. They have about 100 employees, and they're able to expand with a lot of help, really. There's been a lot of negotiating and working with the company behind the scenes to ensure that they can expand right there on their site. But it's super exciting. It's one thing that we can do, and TIF is one tool that the council can use to help our businesses expand and make a project possible.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people will see Cannon Valley Veterinary Clinic right there on Highway 3. It's the building behind that.
Yeah.
They have made, if I'm not mistaken, products, medical products for swine, and it's a nationwide distribution network. So big things there. Ben, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the TIF, what they're requesting, and how that whole thing works.
That's right. So with the industrial expansion that they're looking at, it's a couple million-dollar project. I think it's about 25,000 square feet of building. And really, if you're familiar with that site, it's kind of sandwiched in kind of back behind the clinic, as well as we kind of have a park on the backside of that. So they don't have a lot of room for expansion on there. So we looked at a number of different ways the building might be facilitated, but ultimately it's kind of like a three-story level building, and they're going to need some additional land from the city. So that's a component of it, where we have some parkland on the backside. It's about 0.35 acres, so it's not a lot of property, and it really won't have any impact to the usable use of our parkland. We have the trail that runs back there, but it's just kind of a buffer area that really isn't going to be developed for park purposes. So we're working with them to acquire the site from the city to pay for that and to put the proceeds back into the park fund to help reinvest in our park system. And really, they wouldn't be able to accommodate the building without that. We looked at about every option. They also have some stormwater needs under state law that we have to accommodate some runoff for the property as well. So we need to accommodate a little extra space for that. Additionally, with some of those costs of stormwater and the site issues, the city is taking a look at kind of their pro forma on the project, is offering tax increment financing that would ultimately go to the council for approval. Basically, what that is under state law, we can do for up to 8 years. Basically, I'll simplify it and say, think of it like a rebate, almost like you pay your taxes, then you get your money back on that new value that tax created. So we're not taking away any existing taxes. It's really off of that new after that new development, and the taxes they would typically pay will be repaid back to them to be able to recoup some of those costs that they have on the development. And certainly we're going to see a lot of benefit in return to the community in future taxes, as well as development job creation for us. So we certainly appreciate the retention of those jobs that we have, and the hearing is scheduled for the 4th of September, but we're certainly excited about that. It's, again, another business that you have in a community that you don't really realize some of the unique businesses that we have in the community then that's going on, and a project that's probably been in the works for over a year to ultimately come to fruition.
When do they hope to have this built? 2019, or are they breaking ground yet this year? Do you know?
I don't recall exactly where they're at on that, but I believe the construction's scheduled yet to start this year. But okay. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Oh, well, that's all right. Let's move on because we do have quite a bit to talk about. A busy meeting last night. I want to talk about some tax. There is some discussion about the fire department and their capital equipment. Yeah. Budget. What is that? How much are they spending? Are they getting some new equipment? Where are we going with that?
Yeah, so we've been in a budget process for a long time. So even though this was on our consent agenda last night, the council's had multiple opportunities to discuss this in quite a bit of detail, both on their operating and capital plans. So we have one major piece of capital equipment for the fire department in 2019. That's ultimately what the council approved, was the 2019 capital contributions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a $630,000 pumper truck for the fire department that we're replacing a 1980s truck with. And they're also looking at replacing their one primary camera that they have, that when they enter the building, it's an infrared camera that they can use, so that if we're trying to find people in a building with smoke, that they can find them quickly. The current one's really starting to see some age on it, so that's an important one. That's about $20,000. So Northfield pays, based on our joint powers agreement, we're going to end up paying about $450,000 roughly in the purchase of that. Council in the future will be looking into the details of the purchase itself. We might look at doing it in 2018, or we might follow our typical schedule in 2019. We're out for getting prices and quotes right now with the NAFRS group, and then that'll be a separate discussion for the council at another time.
No, that's a lot of money. When you pay for this, is there a fund specifically for that? Does it come out of the general budget? Do we have to bond for that? Where does that money come from?
Yeah, when you're looking at six figures, higher six figures, especially mm-hmm. in the $400,000 ranges, you're either going to probably typically borrow for that amount of money or be planning for it and have some reserves in place. This particular one, we are looking at using some reserve funds from the city. We have some general fund reserves, so we've been kind of in our minds earmarking that. So that'll be the recommendation. It's one of the things, too, it's a little bit unique in the future. I think we'll have to talk about, too, is if we do want to use the mechanism of borrowing for equipment, the new equipment that we're buying with NAFRS is now owned by NAFRS itself, whereas it used to be where when the cities had the existing trucks, we still owned them.
Mm-hmm.
So the financing in the future, if we want to do borrowing, it might have to go through the NAFRS themselves and not through the city, even though we're going to be the ones paying the most, so the city of Northfield is going to need that. So we're looking at cash usage in this case, so we can cross that bridge another day, but might be a little more unique for NAFRS in the future.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. You had... during the portion of the regular agenda included considering a resolution of approval for the preliminary plat for the Bluff View addition. Where is that at? Is that out on the...
That way.
Is that
be Everybody see that?
South, east? Is that southeast?
Yes, it's okay. Southeast. So it's right across from the middle school.
Okay.
Right? That makes it a lot easier for people to visualize. So it's really it's Akron was a previous developer that was looking at developing that land, and the Vern Kester and his wife are in to talk about that. And it's 32, just slightly over 32 acres of a housing development area there. 61 single-family lots, 10 twin homes, 4 fourplexes, and 2 neighborhood commercial lots. So it's really, they were looking at phase one. It's just a preliminary plat there. Staff will be continuing to work with the Kesters on a final plat and a development agreement, and that will be forthcoming to the council.
All right.
So it's exciting, right? We want to try and make housing happen and affordable housing down there. And I know the HRA is also looking, right? That was where that affordable housing was going to be going in, that the HRA was working on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Let's move on. You had talked about one of the major topics of discussion was the paid parental leave as a new employee benefit. Tell us, this is, I presume, for the birth of a child. Is that correct?
It's not just for a birth of a child. Really what it is we want to support families that mm-hmm. On births, right, on adoption, on foster parenting, any of those scenarios there where a mother, father, either parent, right, would need to be at home to help in a sense, that bonding time when you have a new person coming into your home.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be new to the city, but it's really not new nationwide. A lot of companies, and we were able to, in comparing even companies here within Northfield, is pretty common practice to have at least 2 weeks of paid parental leave for both the mother and the father. And so we were just looking at that and to see whether or not we wanted to go in that direction. And I think there'll be an opportunity. That was just that first initial time for the council to give some feedback, input on what are we looking at here? Is this where we would like to go with this? And ultimately, I think we really want to ensure that we have, we are, in a sense, a company, right, that supports families, right? And because you want strong, healthy families, and we don't want to lose employees because they can go somewhere else, maybe even in the private sector, and get better benefits. We want to both be able to attract and retain good quality employees, and this is one way that we can look at doing that.
What is our current policy on that?
So one of the things is that's quite a bit different, Jeff, is that we have sick accruals that people can use,
mm-hmm.
or if they don't have that, they are protected under federal law that, for a period of time, if you're out on leave, you can have unpaid leave, but obviously that creates financial crises potentially for people. But one of the issues, too, on having the banked sick time you might have is that oftentimes people that are in the childbearing ages, if we're talking more on the natural births, that that they might not have as many accruals built up. So somebody who's more senior who's been around for a while, you kind of build up some sick and you might have more reserves in place, whereas sometimes our younger employees, newer people, don't have that. So that's one difference is we do have sick leave, so that's an opportunity. But in many cases, that can be used up quickly, particularly for those new ones. So by having this in place gives them some additional protection so that they're not using that up. We don't want people coming in sick for work and making other people sick and being on leave too. So we want to be able to have that issue. It's also going to be proposed to be a benefit on a prorated basis. For some of our benefits we're looking at with the part-time employees, that they would also be eligible for coverage for their part-time hours, too. I didn't mean to say prorated. It's prorated based mm-hmm. on the number of hours. So they'd get those full hours covered as well. They're not eligible currently for certain hours worked for our part-time employees for any benefits like leaves that we have. So we do have some operations of the cities that do rely on a pretty large part-time workforce. I think of the library and I think of our liquor store operations are two that come to mind where we do have a lot of people that are pretty stable working for us that would benefit from this as well. So that's kind of an issue. I would say this is an emerging topic. You're seeing more and more of this, I think, in discussions about better understanding the importance of early childhood and investment. So I think from probably a state federal standpoint, you're seeing more discussions in these areas. Also, I think from a recruitment, I've seen it myself personally where these are real decisions that people have as they're balancing work versus family in some cases, and some even deciding to get out of the workforce for a period of time just to accommodate that. And we are in a tight labor force as well. So, as I look at it too, if with a little extra benefit that we can potentially give people, we not only help the families in our communities to be stronger families, I think we also maybe have a little bit of an edge potentially to be able to recruit people in to say we're family friendly here as well, and you'll get some financial support during that time period where it's critically important, and we don't want people to be in a financial pinch. So the council's, we're looking, the range that we're looking at, I think the mayor maybe mentioned that, 2 or 3 weeks, potentially up to, I think, 12 weeks on the higher end. Is that right? That we were looking at, or potentially more on that?
Yeah, so we had some financial projections, right, for 2, 3, and 4 weeks of paid parental leave. Those are the options before mm-hmm. us, but we do know that there's employers in town that cover it up to 12 weeks.
What, as far as what this does cover, is it for both the father and the mother and the father of
yes.
the child?
Yep.
All right. Is there a norm within the cities? Are we the first city to be doing this? Municipality? Are there others? Do you know? Has that been looked into?
No, there are other cities in the state of Minnesota that do this, and so we were looking at some different information, had some comparables from Shoreview, St. Louis Park, Brooklyn Park, Eden Prairie, Richfield were some of the cities that had some comparables there, and a couple of them they cover paid parental leave for 3 weeks, one was for 4 weeks, and two others covered paid parental leave for mm-hmm. both father and mother for 2 weeks.
How long do they have to be like vested within the community?
Yes.
Or do they have to work here for a year to get that benefit, or is there a certain timeline?
That was pretty common across the board for both employers in Northfield and the cities that we were looking at, that they had to be employed by the city or the organization for a year.
Okay. All right. And where's that going? Will that be brought up at the next meeting? Is there more investigation that needs to go through, more discussion? Or?
To be determined,
okay.
I think.
All right.
Yeah, I think one of the things we talked about, too, is that the council did also debate the fiduciary responsibility they have, looking at costs, and so certainly there's value in that, what might be the cost. So we also talked about it in the context of our budget preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's timely for us to try and review it if we're serious, to try and get some of those into our budgetary numbers. So I think we wanted to hear from the council, get a feel from it. We had a subcommittee working on it of three, but they specifically requested the full group have some discussion on it, and really robust and long discussion and very technical discussion. So our Michelle Mahold, our communications and human resources director, did a great job on answering those questions and being very thorough and understanding of the laws. So I expect this will be an issue that doesn't just sit and mm-hmm. it'll be coming back. We just haven't formally scheduled it.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Lastly, you had a budget amendment for a 2018 Polaris Ranger Special Patrol vehicle.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. I want to drive that. What is that? Who gets that? And is somebody getting that? Was it approved?
Yeah, that was approved unanimously by mm-hmm. the council. So that request came out of our police department. Chief Nelson was there and actually had the opportunity to test drive it. And they actually utilized that vehicle, a vehicle like that, mm-hmm. I think, for some of our community events that are happening. And there's just specific areas. We just have a lot of areas, right, that you can't get an ambulance back into. And mm-hmm. you need a smaller vehicle to be able to, in emergency situations, to be able to get into some areas that you can't drive to, right? And so this is an opportunity to get a vehicle on board that they can utilize and make their jobs easier when there's emergencies or things that they need to take care of. So
we've talked with Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn about mm-hmm. a similar vehicle that they have, and it really has come in handy and some instances probably save some lives.
Right.
All right. Anything else with that? Did you get one, by the way? Did you give them the okay?
Or? Yeah, they're okay. All good. And the council asked about when can we get it, and the chief said that he's working on getting it here for defeat days. He didn't get 100% commitment, but I saw a lot of confidence in him, so I'm thinking that we'll hopefully see it there for that event. So that's one of the examples of a use for that.
Maybe we can do some test drives, right? Buy tickets.
Lastly, we're just out of time, but I do want to mention in the administrator's report, you have a key figure that's leaving the city. I'll let you tell us about that.
Chris Heineman, our community development director, unfortunately has put in his resignation for the city. So his last day will be September 7th. But the good side for Chris is he's going to be the new city administrator for Little Canada, Minnesota. So career opportunity for him that he's going to take advantage of. He served us well for 6 years. And has done a lot for community development in the city. And obviously, community development touches a lot of people in our community, so I'm sure a lot of people know Chris or haven't had interactions with him. Or if they haven't had direct interactions, he's probably worked with people on his staff as well. So wish Chris the best, and we'll be having some open public opportunity to send him off for the community as well. And we'll be kicking off our search in the near future. We expect this week to have a position posted. I've kind of talked with the council some on our processes that I'm looking at having, and I'll be providing them the specifics of that. But I want it to be a very collaborative, robust search that has involvement of the community with that, our staff, and obviously the mayor and the council as well need to be on board, because they ultimately make the confirmation of that appointment of that position as well. So it's definitely a key position.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll talk to you. You have one more thing?
Yeah. Just wanted to remind people that the State of the Arts is this evening at Imminent Brewery.
Oh, sure.
Thanks so much for them for opening up their facility for us. So come on out and hear about an update to Arts Plan 06 and give some community feedback input into that. It'll be a great opportunity, and to maybe have a glass of beer.
There you have it. All right. Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks.
Northfield Mayor Rhoda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Bardig.